to find out today whether you are a greyhound or a strutting rooster. Proverbs 30, verse 29 says, "There be three things which go well. Yea, four are comely in going. A lion which is strongest among beasts and turneth not away for any. A greyhound, a he-goat also, and a king against whom there is no rising up." Dear Lord, bless us as we come before Thy holy word. Teach us, God, instruct us. Let us not be dull of hearing. We love You, Lord. Teach us to go. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, what I want you to see from this text before us, according to the Holy Spirit, all of these things know how to go. Nothing gets in the way of the lion. It goes wherever it wants to go. It's not going to turn away for anything. It's going. A greyhound, a he-goat also. We know from prophecy in Daniel that the he-goat is fierce. The he-goat is very resolute. Nothing's going to get in the way of the he-goat, if he can help it at least. And of course, a king against whom there is no rising. In ancient times, the greyhound, of course a type of dog, was known for his swiftness. Even today, the greyhound is the fastest dog. A greyhound has been clocked at 45 miles an hour. The greyhound is second only to the cheetah. The mighty pharaohs of Egypt raised greyhounds. Many of the ancient kings raised greyhounds. Some of the Greek literature in ancient times speaks of the greyhound. Why anybody would doubt the KJV in a verse about going, when the greyhound was so well known in ancient times, why anybody would doubt that that is a greyhound, it's beside me, I don't know. Even in the days of the King James translators, a man was known by his horse, his hawk, and his greyhound. So in almost all of history, the greyhound is known for being a fast dog. All of these things have one thing in common. The lion, it's going to get the job done. Whatever's before the lion, it's going to get it done. You're not going to get in the way of the lion. If you are in the way of the lion, you are going to be removed out of the way. So a lion knows how to go. A he-goat knows how to go. He's stubborn enough to where he's going to say, "I'm more stubborn than you are. I'm going to get this thing done. Whatever I want done is going to get done." The greyhound, he does not waste any time in going. He loves to run. He loves to go. He doesn't waste a lot of time thinking about it. And a king, against whom there is no rising up, wherever he wants to go, he's going to go. What is it that brings the greyhound, the king, the lion, and the he-goat all together? There's just one thing. They all go well. That's what the text says. There be three things which go well, four are comely and going. They go well. They go quickly, they go strongly and diligently and resolutely. This all makes perfect sense in one Bible on the face of the earth. But when you go to the NIV and the NAS, they change the idea of going well to moving with stately bearing. Well, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Moving with stately bearing. Well, when they get down to the greyhound, as they begin to discuss moving with stately bearing, that's what God wants, a bunch of Christians walking around moving with stately bearing. I'm going to tell you, when they get to the greyhound, they change it to a strutting rooster. So they say there be four things which have stately bearing. The wonderful strutting rooster. Now, I began to think about this. I began to think about it. And I said, in a scripture that is commanding Christians to be wise and go like the lion, go like the greyhound, it would be just like the devil to have Christians strutting around, looking at themselves in a circle, showing off, and cock-a-doodle-doodling when they should be going. When they should be going like a greyhound, they're strutting around like a rooster trying to impress somebody. If you think about it, a rooster doesn't get anywhere, really. It might hop in a tree, it might come down, it goes around in a circle. It spends all its time strutting. I started thinking about this. And I said, now are we to sit around strutting and crowing? We do a lot of crowing, don't we? Are we to sit around strutting and crowing? Or as Christians, are we to go well? Then I'm reminded of what the Lord said. He said in the last days, when he looked at that Laodicean church, does the Lord see a he-goat, a greyhound, a lion? You know what the Lord sees? A bunch of roosters sitting around, crowing, strutting, impressing themselves in the mirror, but they're not impressing God. He says in Revelation 3, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because that, here's the reason, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Do they sound like a rooster? Sounds like a rooster to me. Look at me. Look at my feathers. Watch me strut. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. See, God wants us, when it comes to going, to get going. But how easily Christians are hindered in this day and age. How easily we're distracted. How hard it is to motivate us. And it all comes from selfish pride. That pride of laziness, that slothful man who thinks he's wiser than seven men that can render a reason. The lazier a person is, the more arrogant and convinced that he's smart. And I'm going to tell you, that's the problem with this age when the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3 that in the last days, perilous times shall come for men shall be lovers of their own selves, just like a rooster. And I'm glad the old NIV put strut and rooster there. Because that's the Bible that tells you in Galatians chapter 6 that you can have pride in yourself. KJV says, if you prove your own work, you can have rejoicing in yourself. Now that's a big difference between rejoicing in what God's doing in you and pride. So God has given us a Bible for these last days, and man, with Virginia Mollenkopf, lesbian, homosexuals, and a whole bunch of others, have gotten together to give you a Bible for the narcissism age. The age of self. The age of self-love. The age of self-esteem and self-image. I mean, about any church you go to now. Oh, how I'm going to love myself, how I'm self-esteem this, self-image this, self-that. Everything's about me, about self, about my image, my self-image. I tell you what, this age is so concerned with their self-image and having that high self-esteem. I'll tell you what, it's like a strutting rooster. That's exactly what God looks down and sees. A bunch of strutting roosters not getting anywhere, but sitting around trying to show themselves that they are something. That's the problem with this day and age. Well, I want to get one thing straight here. While we're not going anywhere, while the churches of the Lord are not going anywhere, so-called churches of the Lord, Satan's going. Oh, this is one thing I want you to see. It says a lion goes, and nothing easily gets in the way of the lion. I want you to understand Satan has an agenda to corrupt what God has placed as separate. He wants to bring together. We know the devil wants to destroy the works of God. He wants to steal whatever you have, your joy, your holiness, your crown. He wants all of that. He wants you to be disqualified. And he goes about as a lion. We know in Job 1, it says, the Lord said unto Satan, whence cometh thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going. He's a lion. He's been going. We know in 1 Peter 5, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So while Christians are strutting and showing off, the devil's going. He's watching you. And what a lion does is evaluate your weaknesses. And he says, I found the weak one. I found where the weakness is. And when he begins to attack and grabs a hold of you, nothing's going to get in his way. About the only thing that can get in a lion's way is another lion. Oh, praise God, we've got the lion of the tribe of Judah. Praise God, Jesus. A bigger lion, a stronger lion. And he says, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Let's be strong in the strength of Jesus. And Jesus is a roaring lion. So he says, resist steadfast in the faith. But you gotta watch. You can't sit around looking at yourself in the mirror, strutting around, and think you're gonna fight spiritual warfare. You've gotta watch. You got to be strong in the Lord. Don't get cocky. Watch. Don't say, I've got the devil all figured out. Don't say, he's not going to get me anywhere. I don't have to pray. I don't have to watch. Don't get cocky. Peter fell when he got cocky. See, it's not a coincidence that the old rooster started cock-a-doodle-a-dooing when Peter was in his sin. Because that's exactly what happened to Peter. Peter became a rooster. Okay? He got cocky, said, I don't need to pray. I don't need to watch. I can sleep and snore when I should be working. And he fell. David took him a nice little nap when he should have been riding out to battle. He fell. Let's watch. And one way you watch is by moving. Get going. Stay diligent in the Lord. Busy in the Lord. See, the devil has his going. But Jesus has his going. And if you're strong in the strength of the Lord, you're going to get going. I love this verse in Isaiah, where Isaiah is saying that he'll go, but it becomes a prophecy, or it's like the Lord just brings the curtain back to show you the Trinity and Jesus answering the call as the Son of God, that he'll go and die for the sins of the world. It says in Isaiah 6, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. The Lion of the tribe of Judah answered the call. The second person of the Trinity said, I'll go. I'll take upon myself human flesh and die, be spit upon, suffer for their sins. God so loved the world. He sent. But the Son said, I'll go. He sent. The Son said, I'll go. So if we get... Now, do you think Jesus got down here and said, oh, these people are rude. They're not very nice. I'm going to get my feelings hurt and go back up to the third heaven. Did he do that? See, because nothing gets in the way of a lion. The lion decided he's going to come down and go, and he's not going to let anything get in his way. Even his own beloved disciples tried to get in his way. And they said, no, Lord, unto thee. And he said, get behind me, Satan. He said, I'm the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Nothing's going to get in my way of what I've determined to do. And then even while he was bleeding on the cross, they said, come down, come down, come down. No. When he went to going, nothing's going to get in his way. And if we're going to have the spirit of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, we need to get going and let nothing get in our way. Are we willing to serve? Are you well and going? Are you willing to serve? Are you willing to volunteer for service? Are you willing to be you? Don't you wait till you get to the judgment seat of Christ and said, Lord, I was available. And He starts laying before you all the opportunities that we had. And sometimes we get going, but then we run into some opposition. And instead of being strong like a lion, we're very weak. Very easily distracted. You remember the four men that carried the paralyzed man to Jesus? And there was a crowd of people that they could not break through. And they said, I'm sorry, there's just no way we can get to Jesus. So they took him back home and dumped him in his bed and just left him there, right? No, they said, well, we'll overcome the problem. We'll overcome the opposition. We'll overcome because we're not weak men. We're strong in faith. And we're going to forge through and just get around the problem. And that's what it takes to get anything done for the Lord. We'd never be here if we just had that type of faith where we said, oh, well, we got some opposition, some problem. Let's just sit around till all the problems go away. No telling where we'd be if we were even stronger in faith. So our goal is to have this lion-like spirit that will go and get done the service for the Lord Jesus without making excuses. There's a lion in the way, we say. Well, God's answer to that is you become a lion. There's a lion in the way. I was going to do that, and I was going to volunteer and serve, but there was a lion in the way. You become a bigger lion. Become a bigger lion. Let's get it done. Now, if you finally reach the thing, the Lord says, it's just not going to get done, He'll still say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because I tell you what, you looked for every possibility that you could possibly get this thing done. And that's what we're talking about. That pilgrim pluck that built this country. I want to examine real quickly the goings of the Bible. And I want you to just simply quickly, as we go through these, ask yourself, am I more like a rooster that doesn't really go anywhere when it comes to these things? Or am I like a greyhound that swiftly moves, a lion that turns aside for nothing? The first going I want to bring before your mind is the going of the prodigal. I will go to my father. I will arise and go. If you're a Christian and you need to repent of something, I like what he says over in James, go to now. What does he mean, go to now? It means don't live in your past repentance. Don't live in what you're going to do next week or next year. Go to now. That prodigal said, I will arise and go to my father. Friend, you better arise now. You might not have tomorrow. You might not have the rest of this day. Whatever you're going to repent of, repent now. Repent now. Now is the day of salvation. Now it is high time. It's time now to get done. Whatever you need to get done, because you're not guaranteed another minute. You're not guaranteed you'll want to repent. That's the thing. Even if you're living tomorrow, how can you guarantee you've got your mind, that tenderness toward the Lord that wants to repent? Go to now. Get it done now. That's the first going. And don't you let it. Don't say, I'm too embarrassed to repent. I'm too ashamed to repent. I'm too embarrassed to go back around, my friend. No, don't you ever be a lion when it comes to repentance. Don't be some strutting rooster that sits around thinking about yourself. It's time to repent and go. Let's be a lion. Let's be a greyhound. Not a rooster. What about this in me? And what about this with me? You know what? It's not about you. It's about honoring your Holy Father. That whole mess about you is what gets you into sin to begin with. Let's quit worrying about you. And let's get your eyes off you. Get them on the glory of the Father. And let's get something right in the Lord. Let's go. Second going I want to talk about is just the going of work. We mentioned the service and volunteering of the Lord Jesus. And I remember over here in Acts 15, Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them, from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. Paul said, leave him behind, he's not a worker. Say, Paul was pretty strong. Well, you know what, he wanted to glorify God. And if you didn't want to go to the work, then Paul said, well, stay home then. That's how Paul was. If you don't have a mind to work, stay home. I believe it would be Paul's will that Mark work. But there's roosters when it comes to work, and there's lions. And that's just the truth of it. If there's work to be done, there's roosters and there's lions. There's people that like to sit around and talk about it and talk about how they feel about it and fellowship around it. But all you got to do is go, boo! And they scatter feathers all over the place. And then there's lions that say, hey, I thought we were going to get this thing done. Let's roll up our sleeves. Let's get it done. I thought you ran out of gas this morning. I fixed it. Let's get this thing done. Oh, I tell you what, there's a going when it comes to evangelism. And you ought to go like a greyhound. It says in Luke 14, they with all one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And they all had a different excuse for why they could not come to the supper that he had prepared. See? So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, bringing hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. He said, they'll taste of my supper and like it. A lot of people don't come to dine. They don't like what's on the menu. See, they don't want to hear the Word of God. They say, you going to entertain me, show me a movie? No. We're going to preach the Word of God. You're going to have something blow up or some type of visual representation. No, I'm going to have black and white paper. And you can sit here and read it. Well, that's kind of boring. And I tell you what, God said, I want my house full. That's church house and kingdom house. He says, I want it full. Get rid of those rich and people that think they're great, strutting around like a bunch of roosters. They won't come and eat anything. They do a lot of praying. Pray that I'll be excused. I pray that I'll be excused. Please have me excused. But he says, go out and get some folks that are needy, broken. Bring them in. They'll be glad to hear it. So, the Lord's got a kingdom coming. He's got His church house right now. Let's fill it up. Let's go get some folks that are needy, broken, and want to be here. They're out there somewhere. And He said, go out quickly and find them. Go like a greyhound. Kind of drag our feet when it comes to that. We do. Drag our feet. I don't want to be one of them churches that sits around cock-a-doodle-dooing, going off, looking at ourselves, strutting around in a circle while souls are perishing. He says in Mark 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But God, they get mad when you tell them the gospel. Go anyway. Well, we might be persecuted. Things get in our way. Go anyway. I'll tell you what, when we went downtown Fort Worth, do you think they patted us on the back and said, we're so glad to see you. We're so glad y'all come down here. We've got this wonderful bar business and this movie theater, and we're just so delighted. There's a lot of Christians greeting people right when they get out of the parking lot. We're so happy y'all are here. No. The police came. The police lied. The police whispered in my ear, I can give you a ticket for whatever I want to give you a ticket. I said, are you a Nazi? You tell me you're going to lie? You're a policeman and you're going to lie? Just between me and you, if you're still here in the next hour, folks will get tickets. We were here the next hour and we got their ticket and we went downtown and said, what's this about? They said, oh, case dismissed. I've had them come and say, will you go to lunch with me? I'll go to lunch with you. What do you want to talk about? We just want to talk about y'all not being here, finding somewhere else to be. So you try intimidation. You try to be nice. You try, no, we're not moving. We've got a constitutional right, but more importantly, we've got a right before God the Father to witness. We're called to do this. We're not going to hurt anybody. We're trying to help keep people off drugs, keep people out of sin. We're trying to help. And you know what? God opened the door. I don't know how long it'll be there, but God opened the door. So much so, praise God, that, hey, that's the Christian's corner. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you, City of Fort Worth. Thank you for we're not hurting anybody. We're here preaching. We want to help people. But God opened the door. But what if we would have had a different spirit? What if we had no backbone? We let little things get in our way and hinder us. Nothing would get done for God. Nothing ever would get done because I've been at this long enough to see any time you attempt anything for God that's important, the devil's going to show up, Sanballat's going to try to get you down off the wall. They're going to use every enticement in the world. You're going to have distractions, opposition. And you know what you got to do? The more the devil rages, the more you say, I must be doing what's right. And I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. Because if you're mad, then I must be right. Just keep at it like a lion. Let's get busy winning souls. Let's not get sidetracked. Oh, and then there's a going to call brothers and sisters to repentance. He says in Matthew 18, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go. Uh-oh. There's four things that go well. A king with authority is not going to let you get in his way. A lion, you're not going to get in his way. He goat, he's stubborn as can be. You're not getting in his way. Then a greyhound. Doesn't mess around. He can't wait to go. See, if somebody trespasses against thee, you've got two choices. You can sit around like a rooster, talking to yourself, talking to others, crowing about it, but never go to the person privately and let them know that you're upset. But if you're upset with somebody, forgive it. And forget it. Because you probably mess with a lot of folks too. And if you want God to forgive you, He says, go forgive others and I'll forgive you. But if you say, well, hold on a second, I think I really need to hold this person accountable for this, for their own good. Okay, well if that's true, then don't call anybody else. Quit crowing about it. Go to them alone. Don't tell anybody else. Don't announce it to them. Call up everybody in church. Email everybody in church and tell them what you're going to do. And don't say, oh, I need you to pray for something here. What is it that you need me to pray for, sister? Oh, I really don't want to gossip, but I got a problem with sister so-and-so, see. And can I tell you all about it? Okay, and then you go, tell sister so-and-so all about it. Y'all never get to praying, but nevertheless, that's what the gossip was for. We're going to pray about it. And then the whole time, you're stirring up your bitterness. You're stirring up that grudge inside of you. God doesn't want you to get a root of bitterness. God doesn't want you to grudge against your brother and sister. So He has developed the system. Go! Don't let anything get in your way. Well, I'm embarrassed. I'm not a confrontational person. Wait a second. In Jesus, you're strong as a lion. In Jesus, you're strong as a lion. Be strong in the power of the Lord. And go to your brother and say, brother, you've offended me. Okay? I'm not telling anybody else about it. And that's why when folks come to me and they want to gossip and slander a brother, I say, I'm going to do the same thing to you that I would do for you. Don't tell me about it. You can tell me later if there's no repentance. But right now, this is a personal issue. Go settle your issue like Jesus said. Go. Don't go like a rooster. Go like a lion. Go like a greyhound. Get that bitterness off of you. Because as you sit there with those imaginations, they're going to get more sinister, more wicked, and you're going to get more alienated. You're going to get madder, and it's just going to fester. Don't let it brew like that. Because 9 times out of 10, it was a misunderstanding anyway. And then you get so ashamed, you're like, wow, I would have sat here and got a root of bitterness over a total misunderstanding. The final going, and there's some others in Scripture, but I'm just going to deal with one more. Go to church. Say, where's that in the Bible? Psalms 122, I was glad when they said unto me, let us what? Let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, you can go like a rooster, or you can go like a lion. And I know one thing. You've got a devil out here that wants to hinder you in all your goings. Whether it's the going of service, the going of soul winning, the going of repentance, the going of rebuke, or the going to church, you've got a devil out here in the world that is your enemy that wants to hinder you and put roadblocks in your way. And once his roadblocks start working, you'll have a million of them. See, if you ever give in to them, they begin to multiply. Why, in over 15 years, never missed a Sunday. There's one somewhere, maybe my honeymoon. And I tell you what, if I had to do over again, and I'm not going to have it to do over again, but if I had to do over again, I probably would fix that too. I never missed church in 15 years. Because I make it a priority. If we make things a priority, now there's going to be times, sickness is going to come, you're going to have emergency. But don't let the devil distract you and multiply these things to where we get weak instead of strong like a lion. Notice the house of God in the New Testament, 1 Timothy 3, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. There's going to be times you're going to have things come up. There's going to be business. But I'm going to tell you something. Do your best. Do your best to let these things be few. Let them be few. The Bible says we're a king in Christ. And He said, sin shall not have dominion over you. You're a king. In one sense, you've been made a king against whom there is no rising up. Some of this, you need to take dominion over that. A lot of that's true if you preach it right. Because there's a lot of sin and a lot of hindrances that you just need to stand up. Look them in the eye and say, get behind me. You're not going to get in my way no more. And in the name of Jesus, be strong and go. But once you give in to excuses, then those excuses have babies and begin to multiply. And then it gets easier. And easier, and easier. And once you've said, once you've gone against your conscience one time, the next time it gets easier. The next time it gets easier. The next time it gets easier. Now it's just a pattern. And now it becomes a habit. Now it becomes part of your character. So what I want to leave you with today, wherever Jesus says go, go with strong resolution and authority. And just because there's a roadblock doesn't mean it's not God's will. Pick it out of the way and go. Prepare and go. Repent. Go to church. Go soul winning. Go. And let's be different than this generation. It wants to sit around looking at itself in the mirror all the time. It gets nothing done for God. A lot of things I need to go and finish and do. All of us are like that. Okay. Holy Lord, we would have never accomplished anything in You if we let the devil hinder us for trivial reasons, sidetrack us and distract us. And Lord, we see You've brought us in Your timing, Lord. I didn't prepare this, Lord. You did. This is the verse we're on, God, and You've given us how to go well. And Lord, all I did was look up where You said to go. And God, we could either go like a rooster or go like a lion. And I thank You, God, that You've shown us we can go like a greyhound. We need to go quickly. Not waste any time. Forgive us, God, for the age we live in regard to how we've let it influence our lives. We've let it weaken us, Lord. We don't have that strength of our forefathers, that resolution in work, that work ethic of our forefathers, God. We're so tender, Lord. Forgive us, Father. I do pray in the name of Jesus. Strengthen us, God. Oh, Lord, we pray You lead us not into temptation, God. But we do ask that we'll always have this mind to get the job done. And that, Lord, whenever we're tempted to get sidetracked in one of these goings, Lord, let us stand up in Your strength and think of the lion, think of the greyhound, think of the king, think of the he-goat. And Father, I know You'll be pleased and honored, for You looked at those four men and said, how great is Thy faith, how strong is Thy faith. Let us have that faith that sees the work through till it's finished. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank You for the saving blood of our Savior. Amen.